I want us to think tonight about the missionary heart of God. And we have read verses from the prophet Isaiah where we see that missionary heart of God very clearly revealed to us. If we can understand something of the situation into which Isaiah speaks in his own day, Isaiah is dealing with the return of Jewish people from exile. In about 586 BC, the Babylonians had captured Jerusalem and they'd taken God's people into exile. They'd taken them to Babylon, hundreds of miles away, modern-day Iraq. So great tidal movements of refugees is not something that we only see in our day. Here, that being carried away into exile as refugees, as it were, in their day, was something which was the experience of the people of God. But in the verses at the end of chapter 66, which we've read, Isaiah shifts his focus beyond the exile, beyond the time when they're away as refugees. And he starts talking about what will happen when the Jews return from exile. When the Jews return and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Now, we might ask the question, how did Isaiah know? Imagine someone tonight writing a book about something that will happen many years in the future when all the Syrian refugees return to Syria. And describes that return in great and minute detail, and everything that the person writes, down to the last detail, comes to pass. The only explanation as to why Isaiah can write like that, whereas no one in our day can write like that, is because Isaiah, as he wrote, was being carried along by the Spirit of a sovereign God who was going to carry out his plan and purpose for these people. Isaiah didn't know because he was some clever academic. Isaiah knew because the Spirit of God was at work as he wrote. And Isaiah warns these people that when they return after exile, it will be extremely tough for them. Instead of a glorious rebuilding of the nation, they'll straggle back in small numbers and there'll be a struggle to rebuild the city. It'll be a struggle to rebuild the temple. They'll still be dogged by problems, evil, and unfaithfulness. The very things that had sent them into exile in the first place. But then God also lifts up their eyes to a greater restoration. That there will come a time when evil and rebellion are finally dealt with. There will be a time when God's perfect king will come to rule his people. There will be a time when God's people are truly gathered together at one. A time when a heavenly, perfect city of Jerusalem will be established as the throne of God. And what Isaiah does, he presents us with the extraordinary truth. He sees beyond the return from exile to a time of glorious establishment of the kingdom of God. And that truth is not just for Jewish people. No, says Isaiah, God is going to gather a people from all the nations of the world. Not just a small number of Jewish people will worship, but people of every nation, every race, every tongue. God reveals his missionary heart. And if you have a Bible and you follow as we look at some of these verses together, you can see verse 18, for example, where God says, I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues. Not just one nation, all nations. And they shall come and see my glory. What an extraordinary mission this is. You may think this is a much wider perspective than the one we find sometimes in the Old Testament, sometimes only concerned with God's dealings with one nation, Israel. But it'd be wrong to think that this is a brand new thought that has just emerged here. Right back in Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Abraham to trust and follow him, God announces his intention that through Abraham, all the families of the earth, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Isaiah is not announcing something new. God has always had this missionary heart. And what prompts God to make this wonderful announcement here through the prophet Isaiah is that as they look at the circumstances around them, the circumstances around them seem very difficult. That phrase, "I know their works and their thoughts," refers to the fact that there are many who have set themselves up against God. Those who have rebelled against God. Described in chapter 66 and verse 3 as those who have chosen their own ways. Now that's a commentary on us and on our society at this time. Our society, so many have said, we are going to choose to live life our own way. They've chosen their own ways. And for Western society, largely, that is an attitude of mind and heart which is actually even commended in society. Do your own thing. Do whatever pleases you, and we as a society will choose to decide to go our own ways. We will decide what's right and wrong. We'll choose our own ways. And that attitude of heart and life is described in the Bible as a life of rebellion against God. If you say to me tonight, "I'm going to live life my own way," thank you very much. The Bible challenges that lifestyle and says that's a lifestyle of rebellion against God. You are meant to live life God's way. And actually, you will find no rest and peace and fulfillment in the restlessness of this world that says live life your own way. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior King, living life's God's way is actually to be found as a life of joy and peace. But we see here that there were many, as in our day, in Isaiah's day, who refused to listen to God, refused to obey God. "When I spoke, they did not hear," verse 4 says, "but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." And God's response to evil in the world is always a response where judgment and grace are woven together. On the one hand, you see God's judgment at work here in verses 15 and 16. "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many." But also interwoven, there is the theme of God's grace at work. Not all will perish under his judgment. No, he will surely gather a people from all nations to himself that they may see his glory. God's justice demands that the world is judged. God's love demands that he will save all those who come to him, and he will gather to his glory a people out of all the nations. And God's missionary heart, as it were, longs to gather as many as will come. So what an extraordinary mission this is that Isaiah sets before us, and what an extraordinary method that God will carry out that mission. First of all, in verse 19, we find that God